Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Nerd Zone podcast. I'm your host, the Queen of Horror, Casey Hill, and joining me tonight is the Master of Disaster, Michael No. He's actually running late, apparently, but tonight we have a special guest joining us. Do we have any callers on the line?
Yes, you do. Somebody who's Hello. Even more horrific than me. I'm here to make your horror look pale.
Well, then you can help me beat Michael for being late.
I certainly will. I know I have out my whips and chains just waiting on the boy. That's just scary.
So, caller, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Nancy Chandler, and I am the co-owner of Azoth Kim Publishing, that most people don't know exists. But when times are really bad, I'm the person that you will hear from. I am the equalizer for the company. I've done a lot of stuff in my life. I've lived about 84 lives. I've been a rock musician, and I don't mean in a garage band. I mean in a production band. And traveled all over the United States. I've lived everywhere for 1 week. And then I had delinquent records, established that in 87. Gained international notoriety, been a Hit Parader magazine, Rock Scene magazine, magazines I don't even know the names of anymore. And then I got strung off into this author thing by accident. And then now here I am. I am the queen of all I survey, and right now I'm, you know, just looking at the laptop and phone and all this pile of paperwork around me. I don't know. It's about like usual. I found that running Azoth Kim is no different from running a record label. And it took me a little bit to make sure that I wasn't just generalizing it. But I decided, no, there is absolutely no difference. Your pissy lead singers are now your pissy authors. And the problem you have with the contents of the book is the problem you have with the recording of the music. And the recording, I mean, and the print work, the artwork, the details, the barcodes, the information that has to be perfect, perfect, perfect is identical on book covers and CD covers. Distributors are actually, several of them are the same. Same company, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, retro, flashback, and deja vu all together at once.
Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I made it. Sorry. Yeah,
nice
some
you
asthma issues.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had some asthma issues, so I'm like, I need to call in, but I can't breathe. Hang on a second.
Amazing how that stops a person.
Yeah, I was like, well, and what's even worse, I was actually smoking on my front porch, and I'm like, I got like 5 minutes, I'm good. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, so I'm like, trying to hurry up, and I'm like, yeah, well, here I am. How are you this evening?
We are like we usually are, I think.
Michael, I don't know if you caught the introduction or anything, but this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. No, actually, like I said, I was like trying to run in to call, and yeah, I got home late this evening. you can yell at me now if you want. She's always yelling at me.
Yeah, I just gave my disclaimer for anybody who, and in case you missed it, I called you a pissy author.
I'll take it. I agree. Yeah, we do.
No, I call authors.
Some of us do have shitty attitudes, I'll admit, you know.
Oh, no, I was actually being humorous. I don't know. You don't need to take everything I say very seriously, but I seriously mean it usually.
No, I agree. I do work
kind of have
KC,
a Jay Leno delivery to everything, you know. You can laugh at it, or you can listen to what I said, and there's some truth there. So.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm surprised I'm not getting yelled at for being late. Usually they're yelling at me. I'm impressed.
You got pinged in the group chat. I sent you a private message and a text message. You got yelled at.
Oh, I didn't even get the message.
Exclamation point.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, let me check. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there they are. Yep. Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, how about that?
Right, there's three. Oh, man, that's some serious chiz. And there's three exclamation points. I'm in trouble. I am so
that's
grounded.
That's not even grammatically correct. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she didn't call me names. That's later, after the show. Wow. So how is
yeah.
it? I'm just like, you know, like just coming in, you know, saying hi and, you know, late as usual. And plus
I woke up 2 hours ago since I do the night shift for Azoth Kim. I cannot do days. Thank God Casey can do days. I mean, it's wonderful for Australian authors and European authors.
Right.
You know, I work with them, so, you know, I get the folks with all the cool accents and not the whatever we have here. I don't know.
See, I would be confused because, like, every time we have, like, a guest on the show that's from, like, Australia or somewhere else, they're always, like, a day ahead of us, and I'm like, where the fuck are you? How are you in
they're
the future?
In the future. They're in the future.
That throws me off. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. You know, you can
like,
really...
Oh, it's...
go into a whole different thing there, especially after all the research I did for the Phantasmagoria review on the Cloverfield paradox. It reads like, I was like, I've got to catch up on all my science that I didn't major in and try to put this into this review of this movie that no one's really going to give a damn about anyway. So, you know, right there you have your future. And if I can help
right.
you with any kind of particle acceleration, I'm here to talk to you about it. Yeah.
Sweet. so we actually have someone, if you're an Azoth author and you have any science questions, we have a resident nerd on staff we're covered.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't go ripping. No, you know, when you rip the tapestry, the fiber of your space-time continuum, and your book goes flying through a black hole, don't come crying to me, baby. You know, you need to get mm-hmm. your particles in a row.
There you go. See, you go. And now, yeah. like, half our listeners are like, what the hell is she talking about? I understood that. I totally got that. Everybody's like, what do we tune into?
Nancy,
too much sci-fi.
Nancy, personally, yeah. I think you should yell at Michael because he doesn't believe in the Mandela effect.
No.
Oh, holy Jesus. You are so weird. I mean, you're not a you are absolutely, I just cannot deal with you then.
And I'm the weird one.
And obviously, it means one of two things.
That
you
is the
are
first,
the most.
Like,
you're either an absolutely typical male who is like completely unobservant and says things like when their wife or possibly ex-wife says, honey, how do you like my new dress? And you say, probably better on the floor. And, you know, I'm thinking you don't have the capacity to understand the Mandela effect. Yours probably is a type of group mania. If I think
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't believe in it. I don't see it.
He called me crazy about it.
I'll tell you this. I have tried saying I don't believe in the IRS, but, dude, they believe in you. And so does the man.
Oh, yeah, the IRS. The IRS mm-hmm. does not mess around. If you owe them cash, they're like child support. They will find you. They know everything about you.
Yeah.
The IRS
You know, some of these guys who's doing the, you know, the dwelling in caves, waiting on the end of the world or whatever, all the doomsday preppers, namely my ex-husband. It's amazing how they were able to find him when I couldn't. You know, you're right. They're fearless. Actually, I haven't looked. That's not true. I have looked. I know exactly where he is.
He's there somewhere.
I use the particle accelerator.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the black hole. That's exactly where he is. Just floating around there. Turbine's all fucked up.
Oh.
You know, I haven't even met his wife. You shouldn't talk about her like that.
No, I'm kidding. You know, this is the first time I've actually heard Casey laugh that hard. I'm waiting for a snort. If she snorts, dude, I'll lose my shit. This will be my last show. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done. I quit. My job here is done. The moment she's like, you know, I just paid a little bit. We're done. It's over. I can't handle this. I just paid a little. Stop it. Y'all are killing me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have no idea how long Casey and I have been together as partners, business partners. I don't think we've ever had an argument.
Which is really good. No, what's the hardest part I work with, Casey? Is it because I know that she's a bit of a slave driver. What's the worst part of working with
I'm sorry. Was I laughing about that statement? Well, you should work with me.
I would, but she won't let me. It's like as soon as like
I know
like,
she wants to keep. She wants to keep you.
I know. Like I'll like send her like just a paragraph of something that I'm working on, and she's like, "Mine." I'm like, "It's not even done." How do you claim it if it's not even done? I'm like waiting for just like a message, like I licked it, I own it.
Well,
that is actually no. That is probably going to be
the
new policy.
We could have had a great time in New Orleans last weekend had we been there.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, we totally missed our trip because of fucking Create Space. I'm going to burn them to the ground. I just need a ride.
I'm sure somebody's going to ride. Somebody.
From what I understand, they're pretty near my ex-husband.
Two birds with one stone, Nancy.
All you got to do.
So, as long as we're committing arson.
Arson? I'm in.
Wait, what?
Arson, I'm in.
Oh.
Why not? Company field trip.
I think we can take this off our taxes.
You know,
great.
Wait a second. If we do a GoFundMe, we're golden. We'll, like, throw some books and shit.
I like the way you think.
Exactly. So, like, you know, like, do, like, a certain percentage. Like, if you donate, like, $500, like, we won't come to your house and burn it down.
Isn't that
You'll
awesome?
You'll get a free book. That is nice. I think
right?
should, that,
right?
that should work.
Ooh. You know, what's bad is all the things I'm thinking of that we could do with this. The marketing, we could have T-shirts, huggers, you know, hats for the boys who's losing their hair. And, you know, that I wouldn't sleep with anyway. But, there you go.
This could work. This could be like a new, like, you know, we could do the GoFundMe and people
mm-hmm.
donate. Throw in some
like
books and T-shirts.
I would like to make a disclaimer for any FBI agent listening in on this podcast at this moment, since we triggered words over the phone, that this is completely not real.
No.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Just because Orson Welles was like my patron saint of things on the radio, that is a dramatization that everyone overlooked. No, this isn't real.
I'm telling you, if that place ever fucking burns down, they're coming to me.
I don't
like,
know.
Okay.
Yeah,
come to me. I'm like, I don't know, Casey.
My mother. I am sure I'm on so many red lists that it doesn't even count, because I've explained to my mom the number of words and which words we would have to say in a sentence over the phone to have us flagged. So, you know, I went ahead and did it so possibly I could get more exposure, you know, free publicity.
It's always a good thing, right? There's never any bad
publicity. It is.
It's always good.
It was something I just tried to bring up with someone the other day. There is no such thing as bad publicity. When people aren't talking about you at all, that's when you are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's
you know, Casey and I are literally golden.
Oh, my God. That was just like, that was evil.
You know, the thing is so many people, I hate the indie community in all forms of the media. I don't care who or what, you know, there is. It's the smaller, you know, kindergarten version of what you grow up to be that makes it onto CNN later when you have some more zeros behind, you know, your annual income. At that point, you seem eccentric. But right now, you're just an asshole. And people can do without that. There's a lot of people saying, oh, we should all support each other, the authors, and all that kind of thing. And that's true. I went through that whole deal with bands. It's like, I hate to tell you people, but I buy more than one type of music, more than one type of book. You know, there's plenty to go around. I don't see the cutthroat reasoning that some of these people have. And that was just something I went off on a tangent, but you'll soon find out that that's just the way I speak. But, yeah, you know, I really am. Casey and I are trying to do everything we can to leave some of the social media areas behind us, because I personally find it counterproductive.
Right,
a little too much melodrama in my drama, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and that was going to be a question I was going to ask you too. As the person that does own a company like Azoth Kim, that's a publisher, you know, and you have Facebook, which is really not helpful at all to anyone. How do you find other areas to promote books and to promote authors?
Distribution.
You just have to go back to print to be taken seriously. I mean,
right.
It's wonderful that your Uncle Billy Bob's beer blog reviewed your book, but really, who gives a damn?
And it seems too that I noticed
that's all,
that.
All your, if that's the whole audience you're reaching, you know, I mean, unless, you know, it's Billy Bob, like Carter, the former, you know, president brother, drunk, that would be cool. But, you know, usually that's not the case.
Right.
You've got to get back to print. And if you can even get, you know, your local paper, that would be regional. If you live in the Atlanta area, submit to Creative Loafing and start, you know, working from the arts magazines, print, and things like that. But social media, I don't know who tells people that it builds sales when it's like a, you know, you hear, well, you're preaching to the choir. You know, there's so many of the things that people do on social media that you're only performing in front of other authors. You're not performing in front of your potential buyers. You're
right.
Trying to impress the wrong people.
Right.
And
that's,
you're
that's...
giving them your ideas.
Because I noticed that. Give with, like, I know that there's a lot of, like, the release parties, and you give away all these books to people hoping that, you know, they'll review them. But I've noticed that the more copies you give away, the less it actually gets reviewed. Which
that's
is unfortunate.
True.
Which, Ada, and if that would be.
Everybody wants a copy, but not even half of them read it. So,
right.
Of course, I'm not going to review it.
Which sucks, too, because a lot of writers think that, you know, they're giving all these Kindle copies away and it's going to actually pay back with reviews. And no, not at all. And I'm sure Casey has had the same problem.
If people are truly interested in your book, they would buy your book and they would, and if they liked your book, they would leave a review.
Even a shitty review. And you can work with a shitty review.
Right.
Sometimes the shitty reviews will actually get potential buyers interested. Because, you know, the shitty reviews are for those people that are easily offended. And you're like, you know what? That's cool. I like that. I'm going to buy that book.
Right. I mean, that's like the very first book I ever put out wasn't intended to be as put under the microscope as it was. I really didn't think I even needed to write the damn thing. I thought common sense, you know, would kind of could go together for some people, but it didn't. I don't know. It got a lot of confused reviews by people who never even picked it up. I could tell by the review. And the most recent effort that Casey and I put out, I mean, I haven't written, I write a lot, but I'm not one who puts out everything. And
right.
I'm such a perfectionist that then I'm like, no, this is not, you know, absolutely the best it could be. This is not the exact thing I wanted to say, so I'm not going to put it out and all. But, you know, we got some strange flack from our first of the series of the vampire series that we've got going out. A lot of people think that it's actually based on certain people, and it's not. I thought that was another odd thing, and I think that all came about, you know, social media and the circles of drama. But, you know, there I just wanted to start, you know, becoming Carly Simon, and it's like, you know, you're so vain, I guess you think this book is about you. You know, but, you know, there are such things as creating characters that is not based on, I don't know anybody who has, you know, millions and millions of dollars and superhuman powers and go around drinking blood in their jet and, you know, has to be sure and get in the coffin in time, you know? I mean, come on. Who's that? Where's
right.
their account?
I don't know anybody
Facebook?
Like that.
I'm getting
I don't
feeling
know
that
like
that person doesn't
know. Yeah, I don't know anybody like that. And if there is somebody like that, that's fucking impressive.
It is. It's kind of like the weird thing that got out, what, 10 years ago, that Al Gore was a vampire and carried a briefcase of blood?
No.
Y'all missed
that's
that.
Plausible.
You know, maybe it was the Mandela effect.
Yeah, see, I still don't believe that's the thing. Yeah, see, I saw what you did there. No, still don't get, still not a fan.
Yes.
She's trying to pull me in. You see that, Casey? She's just like got her pole out. Woo! I'm going to get that fat fucker. I'm going to get him.
Well, possibly you're just from a bland dimension.
It could very well be. I mean, as a writer, I mean, I just kind of like keep things in focus. And, you know, I mean, I do the atheist thing. I'm an atheist. So, I mean, that has to count for something. I mean, I just don't see the Mandela effect being a thing.
I don't know that. I see where you're trying to draw those two together, but I really didn't buy your sales pitch on it. I think that anybody who can think out of the box enough to write an intriguing novel that will draw other people in has to be able to entertain all types of phenomenon. I don't care, you know, how minimal it is. You know,
right.
There's always, you know, action, reaction. There is hermetic laws, there's laws of physics. And, you know, then there is blatant denial of the obvious. You know, I don't know. I don't think, I think the creative mind has to entertain everything.
Okay, Michael.
Possible. All right, what?
You're a horror lover.
Yep.
Love horror.
Uh-huh.
You like the Silence of the Lambs, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know that part where Clarice walks down and meets Hannibal Lecter for the first time and he goes, "Hello, Clarice."
Yes.
It's no longer in the movie.
I think that was in the book, but not in the film.
It was in the film. Everybody knew the "Hello, Clarice." The way he
right, because not everybody goes around. You know, not everybody's going to go around quoting. You know, if you until you see the movie, nobody's going to quote the book. Okay, it's just that simple. Because we're, you know, same reason you can't get anybody to review your book. Nobody reads, you know. The few people that do. But, you know, unless the movie, you know, had come out, do you think the whole world would say, you know, the odds are ever in your favor? You know, I mean, so then what if suddenly that was gone, you know, out of a book? The whole...
Just like Star Wars.
I am your father. Yeah.
I am your father is no longer in the Star Wars movie. Luke, I am your father. They made figurines that said, "Luke, I am your father," and you cannot find that line in the movie anymore. James Earl Jones did an interview saying he blatantly remembered saying that line in the movie, and it is no longer there.
Well, there's a lot of
couple
of Star Wars movies
that's
not in there.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not talking George about, like, digitally remastered movies or anything. You pop your VHS movie in on your TV and you watch that part, it's no longer there.
Right. That's the odd thing about it is it's not just changed on new digitally remastered or anything like that. It is things that's changed that's been, you know, you put up the VHS tapes, you know, 15, 20 years ago or whatever, and you go back now, you dig it out, you know, the heat's got to it and everything else, and it looks funny, and you put it in, and then you get there to that part, you're like, it's going to be here, it's going to be here. And there's even been a few people filmed, you know, who's uncrated the boxes and then put the film in, and then they're like, no fucking way. And you get to capture them being like, oh, busted. I guess this, there's something to this weirdness. And I don't think anybody really, there's a lot of conjectures about it, but I don't think it's what everybody thinks.
It's possible. I don't know.
I really think it has to hit you on something that you care about, that you know about, and that you know about so thoroughly. And then when you go back and see it or watch it or you see a product or an event and everything about your memories that are crystal clear cannot line up with this, then it will hit you and it will turn your world sideways.
The TV series Sex and the City is the prime example. People have memorabilia that says Sex in the City on their perfumes, on their makeup, everything they bought in the 90s. And now they say it's called Sex and the City. And when you look up Sex in the City, it auto-corrects it to Sex and the City.
I always thought it was Sex in the City. I've never watched the show, but I couldn't tell you for sure or not.
Right. The whole point of the show was them having sex in the city. It wasn't just about sex, and it just wasn't about the city. It was sex in the city. And now it says it's Sex and the City. Everything you look up, it says Sex and the City. It no longer says Sex in the City.
Right. Now it sounds like a punk rock, right? You know, lead singer's sex in the band's in the city.
I studied the Mandela. I'm the one who got Nancy studying the Mandela effect. I came to her and I'm like, dude, you've got to look this shit up because this shit is mind blowing. And then we've been like Mandela Effect buddies since then.
Absolutely.
You've pulled
and,
other people into your magic.
I don't know. I think some people just have a keener sense of their surroundings and the details of things, and others don't. And I think that's kind of where somebody doesn't see it, or like my oldest brother, he has no sense of details to anything in life, history, and even possibly his immediate surroundings. While we're talking, so I don't expect that guy to venture out very far. Sorry, Gene, if you're listening. But it'll hit you one day. Some one aspect. There's a lot of people coming up with too many things. I think that not everybody can make a connection. It's interesting. You got to back down from it just totally messing with you. There's a lot of people now that's experiencing the fact that there's something drastically that's changed about their partner, their husband, their wife, or something, and it's usually something very like, you know, for years, this person's allergic to onions and peaches, and it would be like a trip to the emergency room. And then why would they suddenly order that? You know, knowing what it would do to them. And you're like,
right.
What? What do you know? So there's a few things like that that's happening. It's not just the memories. It's an actual... You know, this is not my wife. This is not my husband. It sounds like the beginning of a great one-liner from Henny Youngman, but it's not, you know. And so it's like, you know, switching out of an entire individual. And that does happen in the Cloverfield paradox, by the way. And a person gets to see that in one reality, you know, she killed her family trying to save fuel for them, and in another one, she didn't. And she also is skinny. So, I don't know. A lot of unique factors going there. You cannot dismiss all the things that are going on in the scientific community, you know, seeking to discover or to develop the God particles. Our quantum computers run at a different rate than our binaries. And so they're able to make leaps with these theories and applications that are possibly the basis of these things. It's not just a matter of, do you believe this, do you not? You know, are all these people nutty? You know, there is some science behind it. What if you fell into a tiny black hole and somewhere your book is selling like crazy? Wouldn't you want to be in that parallel universe?
Well, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you got to buy more comics.
Well, I benefited from my hair finally growing and suddenly not having to have contacts after I wasn't able to see anything since I was 18.
Wow.
A lot of changes like that's happened too. A lot of changes in discovery of body arrangement of organs. And I mean, it's not like we haven't had MRIs and suddenly we just, oh, hey, the kidneys are further up than we thought. Kind of makes that whole vagus nerve, you know, kidney punch, all those things, kind of have to relocate them now.
Which isn't fun. No, I think I think our executive producer has a question for us.
Michael.
I just don't know where she is. Yes.
No, it's me, Michael.
Oh, hey, what's up?
I was listening earlier, and I heard that you felt really left out, that nobody bitched at you for being late. So let's make
right.
up for that. Why were you late? Why were you late, Michael?
Well, I had a bit of an asthma incident. So, yeah. I couldn't
find
my inhaler.
I was on drug dealer.
Yeah, I couldn't find my inhaler.
So
I was on vacation. It was actually still in my suitcase, believe it or not, from my vacation.
So what you're saying is you were really out of breath from some kind of strenuous activity.
I was smoking beforehand, but yeah, it was just, you know, I was
adjusted
to the fucking weather.
Michael, we're gonna discuss this tomorrow night on Beer Doc.
Oh, great. Does this mean I'm grounded?
You feel better now
that
somebody yelled at you?
Finally, you know, I was late for like a minute late. Nobody said shit. I'm like, damn, I'm getting really good at this. I can sneak in. Nobody notices.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
I don't know, man. You tell me. That's kind of scary. I've been doing this so long, nobody cares, so I show up. Just like able to sneak in. I'm like, oh, great. He's here. Wonderful.
You know, I figured the show wouldn't be complete without me getting on your case at least once.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm like. Where is John, man? He's got to at least bust my balls at least once.
Well, there you go.
Now,
you're welcome.
Do you believe in this whole Mandela effect stuff? Or am I the only one that doesn't believe in it?
I don't know. I don't really care one way or the other. I don't really believe in it either.
Thank God. I thought I was the only one. Because, like, I'm going to have to look up a list of this stuff in Google. Because, like, I've seen a couple things here or there. And I'm like, no, I think they're, you know, and I don't remember it any differently. So, I
there's
I was
a
alone.
Lot of people that don't. I mean, one of my friends is an attorney. You know, she wasn't wanting to buy into it either. She was, and then she got to checking into it, and she went, well, this is kind of okay. There's something here off. She'd at least admit that much. You know, once an attorney, forever an attorney. She's not going to say anything that will incriminate her.
Right. Yeah, you can't do that. She's quite insane.
Where did Casey go?
I don't know. She probably fell asleep, or she's like doing some kind of illegal substance in the background.
I am not doing anything illegal in the background.
See, that's how you get Casey's attention. You just tell her, like, she's, like, puffing on some devil's lettuce. Boom, you'll get her attention.
I had accidentally left my phone on mute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I did.
Her,
my dog was barking. I muted it, and I forgot it. And I've been talking
right.
to y'all this entire time.
Right, right. Nancy, let me interpret what you just said. I put my phone on mute so I could take a token to see her devil's lettuce. And I put my phone... And then I forgot I was on mute because I was toking really hard.
My God.
Get him, that was pretty good, right?
Well, as I was saying, while I was muted, I remember my baloney having the last name of M-E-Y-E-R.
That's the one I was sitting here thinking, that's the one where me and the lawyer friend was like, M-A-Y-E-R.
Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, it's always been M-A-Y-E-R.
It was M-E-Y-E-R. We sang that song in elementary school. My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-E-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-E-Y-E-R.
You're wrong, because no, the other way was correct.
Well, the thing is that is an example.
His last name is Meyer, that is spelled M-A-Y-E-R.
the thing is to each person, is that is correct for their memories. And that is the point of the Mandela effect, is perfect memories that aren't identical. I mean, just varying with that one thing, the A, B, you know, or, you know, how many people was in the Kennedy assassination car?
Oh, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was supposed to be six.
I remember four as well, Michael. And my mom does too, because, you know, as she put it, we had to watch it so many damn times, it happened.
Yeah. You know, when you see the Magruder film, you can clearly see four people in there.
No, the new film now doesn't have only four people in there.
Yeah, there's six.
There's six
four.
People in the car now.
Oh, the Magruder film always had four people.
I agree.
It had six people in the filming of it, though, now. It has an extra row of people in
there. Just look it up, or I'll send it to you later, like how I bombarded OTS. It was a shame that I bombarded with all the stuff after one of these podcasts. It's like, okay. You will hear from me.
I'm checking out some of the stills from the video, and I'm still seeing four people. There are no six people in that fucking car. One just got a bigger hole in his head than the others. Yeah, there's four people. I mean, that's what I remember, anyway.
Are you looking at it now? Are you looking at the Magruder? Which one?
I just Googled it, and I'm looking up the some of the stills. And it looks like there's still four people in there, yeah.
The odd thing that, I think the thing that kind of set me back the most was when they showed, you know, the governor of Texas and his wife in the middle seats. And, you know, that's not the way all that went at all, you know, as far as the memories. I haven't gone back and checked out, you know, Oliver Stone's movie and see how it affected that. I've been meaning to do that. See, that's how I like to waste my time.
I read a couple of books.
That's the things I wind up doing while I'm, like, editing you guys' this books, you know. So just so you know.
All right, Michael. I just got you the picture that you can look up on Google when you type in Kennedy assassination, and there's six people in this car right
now.
It's pretty odd.
You got the two up front, the two in the middle, and then you got the Kennedys in the back.
Okay. You know what? You know, it's, oh, wow. Yeah, there are six. But, you know, and it could also be our memories are affected, too, from just focusing so much on Kennedy. You never notice the two people in the front. It's a possibility.
See, he's making
a... You ever think of that? Because you're not looking for, like, those two fat heads in the front. You're like, fuck them guys.
Okay,
I
want to
see some brains.
Okay, Michael, you are the biggest person that is the conspiracy theorist on the JFK assassination. If there were two people in front of him when he got shot, who would have gotten shot first?
Well, it depends on where you're shooting from. Grassy Knoll or where they say he got shot. Because the actual shot...
His driver got shot, too.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
then.
If there were two people
in between the drivers and JFK, they would have gotten shot, too.
That's right. And what was crazier is later seeing interviews of... because my mom has clear memories of the guys, the governor of Texas being murdered. And then I saw some of the black and white film of him in the hospital. And then I saw interview with him and his wife on Larry King Live. And I was just like, oh my God. Okay. This is getting creepy now. I'm just going to go back to, you know, Project High Jump and, hang with Admiral Byrd, okay? Sorry.
You see, I'm big on conspiracy theories, but not the Mandela effect, believe it or not.
There's some things going on. I don't know if you don't have to call it the Mandela effect. There are some changes that are affecting things that are in your home that have been there. Go back and watch it, and it's different. And that's just frighteningly unnerving, you know?
It's like Mickey Mouse not having suspenders anymore.
I don't think he ever had suspenders.
Yes, he did. The little steamboat Mickey Mouse had suspenders.
Yeah, I can't actually
and
see that.
And like, I think that Curious George without a tail or with a tail or whatever. Those are all the early ones that was most common. The Berenstain Bears. That one was one of the ones that confused people the most. And I'm sorry, I wouldn't want a stained bear, but, you know.
My nephew actually had one of the movies where it said originally the name Berenstain, not Berenstain.
Yeah, I don't. When I started seeing Berenstain, I was like, what? Are they joking? Is this like a spinoff of, you know, a parody? You know, like I have a book called Board of the Rings that did exist, you know, came out from National Lampoon. So I thought it was maybe something that had been lampooned. And it wasn't. It's our new reality.
Like, I remember Billy Graham dying in 2009.
Who?
Billy Graham.
Yeah, a lot of people remember that.
I always thought Abe Vigoda was like that. But he's one of those guys you never hear about, though, so it makes sense.
You know, I was surprised that when the guy did die, it wasn't more of a big deal.
Billy
Graham?
Because
his first test was a big blow-up. They had it all televised, everything.
I know, they're like, okay. Yeah. We've already ran all the specials on this. It would be a rerun.
You don't need to rehash this one. He's already been dead before. Screw this.
Yeah.
Like,
you
now it's
had
just
your
blur. Yeah, it's just like,
in a...
Yeah, we'll be fine. We just like we play the funeral from the first time he died. Nobody will notice. And then we'll just replay Sex and the City. Then we'll just throw in the end note. They'll never notice. And then we'll sing the Oscar Mayer's jingle.
Okay, we're coming to your house to burn it down.
Yeah, you guys are. Well, there goes my publishing career. So the next time I sub a book, not that guy. No, I remember it'll just be a big rejection letter. Mandela effect. Do you believe in it now? No. Forget it. Sorry. No.
Well, you know,
fucker.
I think he's got a point. He's got a good idea here, Casey.
No,
that's
a terrible idea.
We could, well, no, we used to have a joke when we rented properties. You know, we had three basic questions. You know, Christian or pagan, Democrat or Republican, domestic or import. You know, screw where you work. We're worried about things that count. you know.
That's
you know, if we,
it's a good way to
you
get
gotta
to know
somebody. That if you're gonna be stranded on an island with one of your authors, and obviously, you know, if they don't believe in the Mandela effect.
<you're>, they go, you know, weren't we already saved once? We don't need to do this again. The fuck? We've never been here before. What are you talking about? We were here last week.
I didn't get off the island the last time, honey.
Remember, you build a bigger boat. I remember that.
All right. Well, we are down to our 4-minute warning. Nancy, it has been awesome having you on here, and you are welcome to call back anytime you like because we all get along great.
And my apologies for running late, too. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
You're going to get beat for that later, okay? Just so you know, you're getting beat for that.
Now?
I said you're getting beat for that later, just so you know.
I assumed I would.
I don't have to go back and listen. Well, I enjoy it. And I've always been here. I've just been quiet. I might not be in the future.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to call in anytime. You know, we're always here. We're like Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you.
I was waiting on that one.
All right, Michael. Do you have any closing words for tonight?
I do not, actually. Thanks for tuning in. Next week I will do better, and I will be on time, I think.
Better be on time.
Damn, you better be
Thank
on time.
You.
I'll kick your ass.
Well, you better be on exactly. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Nerd Zone podcast tonight. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Dear Doc from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Casey Hill, and the Nerd Zone podcast is signing out. Good night, everybody.